Eh? You can talk Portuguese? A chapo who can talk good Portuguese? Where'd you learn to talk civilized?
The Christian father taught me.
I'll be a God-cursed son of a whore. Madonna, a flower son who can talk civilized.
Blackthorn retched again and tried feebly to get off the deck.
Can you... Please, can you put the pilot there?
She pointed at the bunk.
Aye, if this monkey'll help.
Who? I'm sorry, what did you say? Who?
Him. The Japo. Him.
The words rocked through her, and it took all of her will to remain calm. She motioned to the samurai.
Kana-san, will you please help this barbarian? The Anjin-san should be put there.
With pleasure, lady.
Together, the two men lifted Blackthorn, and he flopped back in the bunk, his head too heavy, mouthing stupidly.
He should be washed,
Mariko said in Japanese, still half-stunned by what the bosun had called Kana.
Yes, Mariko-san.
Order the barbarian to send for servants.
Yes.
Her disbelieving eyes went inexorably to the table again.
Do they really eat that?
The bosun followed her glance. At once he leaned over and tore off a chicken leg and offered it to her.
You hungry? Yeah, little flower-san. It's good. It's fresh today. Real Macau capon.
She shook her head. The bosun's grizzled face split into a grin, and he helpfully dipped the chicken leg into the heavy gravy and held it under her nose.
Gravy makes it even better. Hey, it's good to be able to talk proper, eh? Never did that before. Go on, it'll give you strength. Where it counts. It's Macau capon, I tell you.
No, no thank you. To eat meat is forbidden. It's against the law, and against Buddhism, and Shintoism.
Not in Nagasaki, it isn't.
The bosun laughed.
Ha! Lots of Japos eat meat all the time. They all do when they can get it and swill our grog as well. You're Christian, eh? Go on, try, little Donna. How do you know till you try?
No, no thank you.
A man can't live without meat. There's real food. Makes you strong, so you can jiggle like a stoat. Here.
He offered the chicken leg to Kana.
You want?
Kana shook his head, equally nauseated.
Yeah.
The bosun shrugged and threw it carelessly back onto the table.
Yeah, it is. What have you done to your arm? You hurt it in a fight?
Yes, but not badly.
Mariko moved it a little to show him, and swallowed the pain.
Poor little thing. What do you want here, Doña Señorita, eh?
To see the pilot. Lord Toranaga sent me.
The pilot's drunk?
Yes, that and the food. Poor bastard ate too fast and drank too fast. Took half the bottle in a gulp. Ingles are all the same. Can't hold their grog, and they've no cojones.
His eyes went all over her.
I've never seen a flower as small as you before, and never talked to a Japo who could talk civilized before.
Do you call all Japanese ladies and samurai Japos and monkeys?
The seaman laughed shortly.
Yeah. Hey, senorita, that was a slip of the tongue. That's for usuals, you know, the pimps and whores in Nagasaki. No offense meant. I never did talk to a civilized senorita before. Never knowed there was any, by God.
Neither have I, senor. I've never talked to a civilized Portuguese before, other than the Holy Father. We are Japanese, not Japos, ne? And monkeys are animals, aren't they?
Sure.
The bosun showed the broken teeth.
You speak like a donna. Yes, no offense, donna senorita.
Blackthorn began mumbling. She went to the bunk and shook him gently.
Anjin-san! Anjin-san!
Yes,
Yes?
Blackthorn opened his eyes.
Oh. Hello. I'm sorry. I...
But the weight of his pain and the spinning of the room forced him to lie back.
Please send for a servant, Signor. He should be washed.
They're slaves. But not for that, Doña Signorita. Leave the Inglés. What's a little vomit to a heretic?
No servants?
She asked, flabbergasted.
We have slaves. Black bastards, but they're lazy. Wouldn't trust one to wash him myself,
he added with a twisted grin. Mariko knew she had no alternative. Lord Taranaga might have need of the Anjin-san at once, and it was her duty.
Then I need some water, she said, to wash him with.
There's a barrel in the stairwell, in the deck below.
Please fetch some for me, Signor.
Send him!
The bosun jerked a finger at Kana.
No, you will please fetch it, now.
The bosun looked back at Blackthorn.
You his doxy?
What?
The Inglés is doxy.
What's a doxy, Signor?
His woman, his mate. You know, Signorita, this pilot's sweetheart. He's jigga-jag. Huh? Doxy?
No, no, Signor. I'm not his doxy.
His, then? This monk? This samurai's? Or the king's, maybe? Him that's just come aboard. Tora something. You one of his?
No.
Nor any aboards?
She shook her head.
Please, would you get some water?
The bosun nodded and went out. That's the ugliest, foulest-smelling man I've ever been near, the samurai said. What was he saying?
He, the man, asked if I was one of the pilot's consorts.
The samurai went for the door.
Kana-san!
I demand the right, on your husband's behalf, to avenge that insult, at once, as though you'd cohabit with any barbarian.
Kana-san, please close the door.
Yotoda Mariko-san, how dare he insult you? The insult must be avenged.
It will be, Kana-san, and I thank you. Yes, I give you the right, but we are here at Lord Toranaga's order. Until he gives his approval, it would not be correct for you to do this.
Kana closed the door reluctantly.
I agree, but I formally ask that you petition Lord Taranaga before we leave.
Yes. Thank you for your concern over my honor. What would Kana do if he knew all that had been said?
She asked herself, appalled.
What would Lord Taranaga do? Or Hiromatsu? Or my husband? Monkeys? Oh, Madonna, give me thy help to hold myself still and keep my mind working.
To ease Kana's wrath, she quickly changed the subject.
The Anjin-san looks so helpless, just like a baby. It seems barbarians can't stomach wine, just like some of our men.
Yes, but it's not the wine. Can't be. It's what he's eaten. Blackthorn moved uneasily, groping for consciousness.
They've no servants on the ship, Kana-san, so I'll have to substitute for one of the Anjin-san's ladies.
She began to undress Blackthorn, awkwardly because of her arm.
Here, let me help you.
Kana was very deft.
I used to do this for my father when the sake took him.
It's good for a man to get drunk once in a while. It releases all the evil spirits.
Yes, but my father used to suffer badly the next day.
My husband suffers very badly. For days.
After a moment, Kana said,
May Buddha grant that Lord Buntaro escapes.
Yes.
Mariko looked around the cabin.
I don't understand how they can live in such squalor. It's worse than the poorest of our people. I was almost fainting in the other cabin from the stench.
It's revolting. I've never been aboard a barbarian ship before.
I've never been on the sea before.
The door opened and the bosun set down the pail. He was shocked at Blackthorn's nudity and yoked out a blanket from under the bunk and covered him.
He'll catch his death. Apart from that, shameful to do that to a man. Even him.
What?
Nothing. What's your name, Dona Senorita?
His eyes glittered. She did not answer. She pushed the blanket aside and washed Blackthorn clean, glad for something to do, hating the cabin and the foul presence of the bosun, wondering what they were talking about in the other cabin.
Is our master safe?
When she had finished, she bundled the kimono and soiled loincloth.
Can this be laundered, senor?
Eh?
These should be cleaned at once. Could you send for a slave, please?
They're a lazy bunch of black bastards, I told you. That'd take a week or more. Throw 'em away, Dona Senorita. They're not worth breath. Our pilot, Captain Rodriguez, said to give him proper clothes. Here.
He opened a sea locker.
He said to give him any from here.
I don't know how to dress a man in those.
He needs a shirt and trousers and codpiece and socks and boots and sea jacket.
The bosun took them out and showed her. Then together, she and the samurai began to dress Blackthorn, still in his half-conscious stupor.
How does he wear this?
She held up the triangular bag-like codpiece with its attached strings.
Madonna! He wears it in front! Like this!
The bosun said, embarrassed, fingering his own.
You tie it in place over his trousers, like I told, over his cord.
She looked at the bosun's, studying it. He felt her look and stirred. She put the codpiece on Blackthorn and settled him carefully in place, and together she and the samurai put the backstrings between his legs and tied the strings around his waist. To the samurai, she said quietly,
"This is the most ridiculous way of dressing I've ever seen."
"It must be very uncomfortable," Kana replied. "Do priests wear them, Mariko-san? Under their robes?"
"I don't know."
She brushed a strand of hair out of her eyes.
"Senor, is the engine-san dressed correctly now?"
"Aye, except for his boots. They're there. They can wait."
The bosun came over to her, and her nostrils clogged. He dropped his voice, keeping his back to the samurai.
"You want a quickie?"
"What?"
"I fancy you, senorita, eh? What do you say? There's a bunk in the next cabin. Send your friend aloft. The Inglés is out for an hour yet. I'll pay the usual."
"What?"
"You'll earn a piece of copper. Even three, if you're like a stoat. And you'll straddle the best cock between here and Lisbon, eh? What do you say?"
The samurai saw her horror. "What is it, Mariko-san?" Mariko pushed past the bosun, away from the bunk. Her words stumbled.
He said...
Kana drew out his sword instantly, but found himself staring into the barrels of two cocked pistols. Nevertheless, he began to lunge.
"Stop, Kana-san!"
Mariko gasped.
"Lord Torunaga forbade any attack until he ordered it."
"Go on, monkey. Come at me, you stink-piss shithead. You. Tell this monkey to put up his sword, or he'll be a headless son of a bitch before he can fart."
Mariko was standing within a foot of the bosun. Her right hand was still in her obi, the haft of the stiletto knife still in her palm. But she remembered her duty and took her hand away.
"Kana-san, replace your sword, please.
We must obey Lord Torunaga. We must obey him."
With a supreme effort, Kana did as he was told.
"I've a mind to send you to hell, Japo."
"Please excuse him, senor, and me,"
Mariko said, trying to sound polite.
"There was a mistake, a mis..."
"That monkey-faced bastard pulled a sword! That wasn't a mistake, by Jesus!"
"Please excuse it, senor. So sorry."
The bosun wet his lips.
"I'll forget it if you're friendly, little flower. Into the next cabin with you, and tell this monk. Tell him to stay here, and I'll forget about it."
What's your name, senor?
Pizarro. Manuel Pizarro. Why?
Nothing. Please excuse the misunderstanding, senor Pizarro.
Get in the next cabin. Now.
What's going on? What's...
Blackthorn did not know if he was awake or still in a nightmare, but he felt the danger.
What's going on, by God?
This stinking Japo drew on me.
It was a mistake, Anjan-san,
Mariko said.
I've apologized to the Señor Pizarro.
Mariko? Is that you?
Mariko-san? Hi, Anjan-san. Honto, honto.
She came nearer. The bosun's pistols never wavered off Kana. She had to brush past him, and it took an even greater effort not to take out her knife and gut him. At that moment, the door opened. The youthful helmsman came into the cabin with a pail of water. He gawked at the pistols and fled.
Where's Rodriguez?
Blackthorn said, attempting to get his mind working.
Aloft, where a good pilot should be,
the bosun said, his voice grating.
This Japo drew on me, by God!
Help me up on deck.
Blackthorn grasped the bunk sides. Mariko took his arm, but she could not lift him. The bosun waved a pistol at Kana.
Tell him to help, and tell him if there's a God in heaven, he'll be swinging from the yardarm before the turn.
First Mate Santiago took his ear away from the secret knothole in the wall of the great cabin. The final,
well, that's all settled then,
from Delacqua, ringing in his brain. Noiselessly, he slipped across the darkened cabin, out into the corridor, and closed the door quietly. He was a tall, spare man with a lived-in face, and wore his hair in a tarred pigtail. His clothes were neat, and like most seamen, he was barefoot. In a hurry, he shinned up the companionway, ran across the main deck, up onto the quarterdeck, where Rodriguez was talking to Mariko. He excused himself, and leaned down to put his mouth very close to Rodriguez's ear, and began to pour out all that he had heard and had been sent to hear, so that no one else on the quarterdeck could be party to it. Blackthorn was sitting aft on the deck, leaning against the gunwale, his head resting on his bent knees. Mariko sat straight-backed, facing Rodriguez, Japanese fashion, and Kana, the samurai, bleakly beside her. Armed seamen swarmed the decks and crow's nest aloft, and two more were at the helm. The ship still pointed into the wind, the air and night clean, the nimbus stronger and rain not far off. 100 yards away, the galley lay broadside, at the mercy of their cannon, all shipped, except for two each side, which kept her in station, the slight tide taking her. The ambushing fishing ships with hostile samurai archers were closer, but they were not encroaching as yet. Mariko was watching Rodriguez and the mate. She could not hear what was being said, and even if she could, her training would have made her prefer to close her ears. Privacy in paper houses was impossible without politeness and consideration. Without privacy, civilized life could not exist, so all Japanese were trained to hear and not hear, for the good of all. When she had come on deck with Blackthorn, Rodriguez had listened to the bosun's explanation and to her halting explanation that it was her fault, that she had mistaken what the bosun had said, and that this had caused Kana to pull out his sword to protect her honor. The bosun had listened, grinning, his pistol still leveled at the samurai's back.
I only asked if she was the Inglese's doxy, by God, she being so free with washing him and sticking his privates into the cod. Put up your pistols, bosun. He's dangerous, I tell you. String him up. I'll watch him. Go for it. This monkey'd have killed me if I wasn't faster. Put him on the yardarm. That's what we do in Nagasaki. We're not in Nagasaki. Go for it! Now!
And when the bosun had gone, Rodriguez had asked,
what did he say to you, senora? Actually say? It... nothing, senor. Please.
I apologize for that man's insolence to you and to the samurai. Please apologize to the samurai for me. Ask his pardon. And I ask you both formally to forget the bosun's insults. It will not help your liege lord or mine to have trouble aboard. I promise you I will deal with him in my own way, in my own time.
She had spoken to Kana, and under her persuasion, at length he had agreed.
Kana-san says, very well, but if he ever sees the bosun Pesaro on shore, he will take his head.
That's fair, by God. Yes. Domo arigato, Kana-san,
Rodriguez said with a smile.
And domo arigato gozaimashita, Mariko-san.
You speak Japanese?
Oh, no. Just a word or two. I've a wife in Nagasaki.
Oh? You have been long in Japan?
This is my second tour from Lisbon. I've spent 7 years in these waters, all told. Here, and back and forth to Macau and to Goa.
Rodriguez added,
pay no attention to him. He's Eta. But Buddha said even Eta have a right to life, eh?
Of course, Mariko said.
The name and face branded forever into her mind.
My wife speaks some Portuguese, nowhere near as perfectly as you. You're Christian, of course.
Yes.
My wife's a convert. Her father's samurai, though a minor one. His liege lord is Lord Kiyama.
She is lucky to have such a husband,
Mariko said politely. But she asked herself, staggered,
how could one marry and live with a barbarian?
In spite of her inherent manners, she asked,
does the lady, your wife, eat meat like that in the cabin?
No,
Rodriguez replied with a laugh, his teeth white and fine and strong.
And in my house at Nagasaki, I don't eat meat either. At sea I do, and in Europe, it's our custom. 1,000 years ago, before the Buddha came, it was your custom too, ne? Before Buddha lived to point the Tao, the way, all people ate meat. Even here, Signora. Even here. Now, of course, we know better. Some of us, ne?
Mariko thought about that. Then she said,
do all Portuguese call us monkeys? And Japos? Behind our backs?
Rodriguez pulled at the earring he wore.
Don't you call us barbarians, even to our face? We're civilized, at least we think so, Signora. In India, the land of Buddha, they call Japanese Eastern Devils, and won't allow any to land if they're armed. You call Indians blacks and non-human. What do the Chinese call Japanese? What do you call the Chinese? What do you call the Koreans? Garlic eaters, ne?
I don't think Lord Torunaga would be pleased. Or Lord Hiromatsu, or even the father of your wife.
The blessed Jesus said, first cast the mote out of your own eye, before you cast the beam out of mine.
She thought about that again now, as she watched the first mate whispering urgently to the Portuguese pilot.
It's true. We sneer at other people. But then, we're citizens of the land of the gods, and therefore especially chosen by the gods. We alone, of all peoples, are protected by a divine emperor. Aren't we, therefore, completely unique and superior to all others? And if you are Japanese and Christian? I don't know. Oh, Madonna, give me thy understanding. This Rodriguez pilot is as strange as the English pilot. Why are they very special? Is it their training? It's unbelievable what they do, ne? How can they sail around the earth and walk the sea as easily as we do the land? Would Rodriguez's wife know the answer? I'd like to meet her and talk to her.
The mate lowered his voice even more.
He said what?
Rodriguez exclaimed with an involuntary curse, and in spite of herself, Mariko tried to listen. But she could not hear what the mate repeated. Then she saw them both look at Blackthorn, and she followed their glance, perturbed by their concern.
What else happened, Santiago?
Rodriguez asked guardedly, conscious of Mariko. The mate told him in a whisper behind a cupped mouth.
How long will they stay below?
They were toasting each other. And the bargain. Bastards!
Rodriguez caught the mate's shirt.
No word of this, by God. On your life!
No need to say that, pilot.
There's always a need to say it.
Rodriguez glanced across at Blackthorn.
Wake him up!
The mate went over and shook him roughly.
What's the matter, eh? Hit him!
Santiago slapped him.
Jesus Christ, I'll...
Blackthorn was on his feet, his face on fire, but he swayed and fell.
God damn you! Wake up, Inglés!
Furiously, Rodriguez stabbed a finger at the two helmsmen.
Throw him overboard!
Eh?
Now, by God!
As the two men hurriedly picked him up, Mariko said,
Pilot Rodriguez, you mustn't...
But before she or Kana could interfere, the two men had hurled Blackthorn over the side. He fell the 20 feet and belly-flopped in a cloud of spray and disappeared. In a moment he resurfaced, choking and spluttering, flailing at the water, the ice-cold clearing his head. Rodriguez was struggling out of his sea chair.
Madonna, give me a hand!
One of the helmsmen ran to help as the first mate got a hand under his armpit.
Christ Jesus, be careful! Mind my foot, you clumsy dunghead!
They helped him to the side. Blackthorn was still coughing and spluttering, but now as he swam for the side of the ship, he was shouting curses at those who had cast him overboard.
2 points starboard,
Rodriguez ordered. The ship fell off the wind slightly and eased away from Blackthorn. He shouted down,
Stay to hell off my ship!
Then urgently to his first mate, Take the longboat, pick up the Inglés, and put him aboard the galley. Fast.
Tell him.
He dropped his voice. Mariko was grateful that Blackthorn was not drowning.
Pilot, the engine stands under Lord Toranaga's protection. I demand he be picked up at once.
Just a moment, Mariko-san.
Rodriguez continued to whisper to Santiago, who nodded, then scampered away.
I'm sorry, Mariko-san. Comen kudasai. But it was urgent. The Inglés had to be woken up. I knew he could swim. He has to be alert and fast.
Why?
I'm his friend. Did he ever tell you that?
Yes. But England and Portugal are at war. Also Spain.
Yes, but pilots should be above war.
Then to whom do you owe duty?
To the flag.
Isn't that to your king?
Yes and no, senora. I owed the Inglés a life.
Rodriguez was watching the longboat.
Steady as she goes. Now put her into the wind,
he ordered the helmsman.
Yes, senor.
He waited, checking and rechecking the wind and the shoals and the far shore. The leadsman called out the fathoms.
Sorry, senora. You were saying?
Rodriguez looked at her momentarily, then went back once more to check the lie of his ship and the longboat. She watched the longboat, too. The men had hauled Blackthorn out of the sea and were pulling hard for the galley, sitting instead of standing and pushing the oars. She could no longer see their faces clearly. Now the engine sound was blurred with the other man close beside him, the man that Rodriguez had whispered to.
What did you say to him, senor?
Oh,
him. The senor you sent after the engine sound.
Just to wish the Inglés well and Godspeed.
The reply was flat and non-committal. She translated to Kana what had been said. When Rodriguez saw the longboat alongside the galley, he began to breathe again.
Hail Mary, Mother of God!
The Captain General and the Jesuits came up from below. Toranaga and his guards followed.
Rodriguez, launch the longboat. The fathers are going ashore,
Ferreira said.
And then?
And then we put to sea, for Edo.
Why there? We were sailing for Macau,
Rodriguez replied, the picture of innocence.
We're taking Toranaga home to Edo.
First. We're what? But what about the galley?
She stays, or she fights her way out.
Rodriguez seemed to be even more surprised and looked at the galley, then at Mariko. He saw the accusation written in her eyes.
Matsu,
the pilot told her quietly.
What?
Father Alvito asked.
Patience? Why patience, Rodriguez?
Saying Hail Marys, Father. I was saying to the lady, it teaches you patience.
Ferreira was staring at the galley.
What's our longboat doing there?
I sent the heretic back aboard.
You what?
I sent the Inglés back aboard.
What's the problem, Captain General?
The Inglés offended me, so I threw the bugger overboard. I'd have let him drown, but he could swim, so I sent the mate to pick him up and put him back aboard his ship, as he seemed to be in Lord Toranaga's favor. What's wrong?
Fetch him back aboard.
I'll have to send an armed boarding party, Captain General. Is that what you want? He was cursing and heaping hellfire on us. He won't come back willingly this time.
I want him back aboard.
What's the problem? Didn't you say the galleys to stay and fight, or whatever? So what? So the Inglés is hip-deep in shit. Good. Who needs the bugger anyway? Surely the fathers would prefer him out of their sight. Eh, Father?
Delacroix did not reply, nor did Alvito. This disrupted the plan that Ferreira had formulated and had been accepted by them and by Toranaga, that the priests would go ashore at once to smooth over Ishido, Kiyama, and Onoshi, professing that they had believed Toranaga's story about the pirates and did not know that he had escaped from the castle. Meanwhile, the frigate would charge for the harbour mouth, leaving the galley to draw off the fishing boats. If there was an overt attack on the frigate, it would be beaten off with cannon and the die cast.
But the boats shouldn't attack us,
Ferreira had reasoned.
They have the galley to catch. It will be your responsibility, Eminence, to persuade Ishido that we had no other choice. After all, Toranaga is president of the regents. Finally, the heretic stays aboard.
Neither of the priests had asked why, nor had Ferreira volunteered his reason. The visitor put a gentle hand on the captain general and turned his back on the galley.
Perhaps it's just as well the heretic's there, he said,
and he thought,
how strange are the ways of God.
No,
Ferreira wanted to scream.
I wanted to see him drown.
A man overboard in the early dawn at sea. No trace, no witnesses. So easy.
Toranaga would never be the wiser. A tragic accident, as far as he was concerned. And it was the fate Blackthorn deserved.
The Captain General also knew the horror of sea death to a pilot.
Nanja?
Toranaga asked. Father Alvito explained that the pilot was on the galley, and why. Toranaga turned to Mariko, who nodded and added what Rodriguez had said previously. Toranaga went to the side of the ship and gazed into the darkness. More fishing boats were being launched from the north shore, and the others would soon be in place. He knew that the Anjin-san was a political embarrassment, and this was a simple way the gods had given him if he desired to be rid of the Anjin-san.
Do I want that? Certainly the Christian priests will be vastly happier if the Anjin-san vanishes, he thought. And also Onoshi and Kiyama, who feared the man so much that either or both had mounted the assassination attempts. Why such fear? It's karma that the Anjin-san is on the galley now and not safely here. Ne? So the Anjin-san will drown with the ship, along with Yabu and the others and the guns. And that is also karma. The guns I can lose. Yabu I can lose. But the Anjin-san? Yes. Because I still have 8 more of these strange barbarians in reserve. Perhaps their collective knowledge will equal or exceed that of this single man. The important thing is to be back in Edo as quickly as possible, to prepare for the war, which cannot be avoided. Yama and Onoshi? Who knows if they'll support me? Perhaps they will,
perhaps not. But a plot of land and some promises are nothing in the balance if the Christian weight is on my side in 40 days. It's karma, Tsuko-san, ne?
Yes, sire.
Alvito glanced at the Captain General, very satisfied.
Lord Torunaga suggests that nothing is done. It's the will of God.
Is it?
The drum on the galley began abruptly. The oars bit into the water with great strength.
What in the name of Christ is he doing?
Ferreira bellowed. And then, as they watched the galley pulling away from them, Torunaga's pennant came fluttering down from the masthead. Rodriguez said,
Looks like they're telling every God-cursed fishing boat in the harbor that Lord Torunaga's no longer aboard.
What's he going to do?
I don't know.
Don't you?
Ferreira asked.
No, but if I was him, I'd head for sea and leave us in the cesspit.
Or try to.
The Inglés has put the finger on us now. What's it to be?
Your order to Edo.
The Captain General wanted to add,
If you ran the galley, all the better.
But he didn't, because Mariko was listening. The priest thankfully went ashore in the longboat.
All sail so!
Rodriguez shouted, his leg paining and throbbing.
Sow by southwest! All hands lay to!
Senora, please tell Lord Torunaga he'd best go below. It'll be safer,
Ferreira said.
He thanks you, and says he will stay here.
Ferreira shrugged, went to the edge of the quarterdeck.
Prime all cannon! Load grape! Action stations!
Chapter 28
Isugi!
Blackthorn shouted, urging the oarsmaster to increase the beat. He looked aft at the frigate that was bearing down on them, close-hauled now under full sail, then forward again, estimating the next tack that she must use. He wondered if he had judged right, for there was very little sea room here near the cliffs, barely a few yards between disaster and success. Because of the wind, the frigate had to tack to make the harbour mouth, while the galley could manoeuvre at its whim. But the frigate had the advantage of speed. And on the last tack, Rodriguez had made it clear that the galley had better stay out of the way when the Santa Teresa needed sea room. Yabu was chattering at him again, but he paid no heed.
Don't understand. Wakarimasen, Yabu-san. Listen, Torunaga-sama said, me, Anjin-san, Ichiban ima. I'm chief captain-san now. Wakaremaska, Yabu-san?
He pointed the course on the compass to the Japanese captain, who gesticulated at the frigate, barely 50 yards aft now, overtaking them rapidly on another collision path.
Hold your course, by God,
Blackthorn said, the breeze cooling his sea-sodden clothes, which chilled him but helped to clear his head. He checked the sky. No clouds were near the bright moon, and the wind was fair.
No danger there, he thought. God keep the moon bright till we're through.
Hey, Captain!
He called out in English, knowing it made no difference if he spoke English or Portuguese or Dutch or Latin, because he was alone.
Send someone for sake! Sake! Wakarimasuka?
Hey, Anjin-san.
A seaman was sent scurrying. As the man ran, he looked over his shoulder, frightened by the size of the approaching frigate and her speed. Blackthorn held their course, trying to force the frigate to turn before she had gained all space to windward. But she never wavered and came directly at him. At the last second, he swung out of her way, and then, when her bowsprit was almost over their aft deck, he heard Rodriguez order,
Bear on the larboard deck! Let go stays, and steady as she goes!
Then a shout at him in Spanish.
Thy mouth in the devil's ass, Igles!
Thy mother was there first, Rodriguez!
Then the frigate peeled off the wind to scud now for the far shore, where she would have to turn again to reach into the wind and tack for this side once more, before she could turn a last time again and make for the harbour mouth. For an instant, the ships were so close that he could almost touch her. Rodriguez, Torunaga, Mariko, and the Captain General swaying on the quarterdeck. Then the frigate was away, and they were twisting in her wash.
Isogi! Isogi, by God!
The rowers redoubled their efforts, and with signs Blackthorn ordered more men on the oars, until there were no reserves. He had to get to the mouth before the frigate, or they were lost. The galley was eating up the distance, but so was the frigate. At the far side of the harbour, she spun like a dancer, and he saw that Rodriguez had added topsails and topgallants.
He's as canny a bastard as any Portuguese born.
The sake arrived, but it was taken out of the seaman's hands by the young woman who had helped Mariko and offered precariously to him. She had stayed gamely on deck, even though clearly out of her element. Her hands were strong, her hair well-groomed, and her kimono rich, in good taste and neat. The galley lurched in the chop. The girl reeled and dropped the cup. Her face did not change, but he saw the flush of shame.
"Por nada," he said, as she groped for it. "It doesn't matter. Namaika?"
"Usagi Hujiko, Anjin-san."
"Hujiko-san. Here, give it to me. Dozo."
He held out his hand and took the flask and drank directly from it, gulping the wine, eager to have its heat inside his body. He concentrated on the new course, skirting the shoals that Santiago, on Rodriguez's orders, had told him about. He rechecked the bearing from the headland that gave them a clean, hazardless run to the mouth while he finished the warmed wine, wondering in passing how it had been warmed and why they always served it warm and in small quantities. His head was clear now, and he felt strong enough if he was careful. But he knew he had no reserves to draw upon, just as the ship had no reserves.
"Sake Dozo, Hujiko-san."
He handed her the flask and forgot her. On the windward tack, the frigate made way too well, and she passed 100 yards ahead of them, bearing for the shore. He heard obscenities coming down on the wind, and did not bother to reply, conserving his energy.
"Isogi, by God! We're losing!"
The excitement of the race and of being alone again and in command, more by the strength of his will than by position, added to the rare privilege of having Yabu in his power, filled him with unholy glee.
"If it wasn't that the ship would go down, and me with her, I'd put her on the rocks just to see you drown, shit-faced Yabu. For old Peter Schoen. But didn't Yabu save Rodriguez when you couldn't? Didn't he charge the bandits when you were ambushed? And he was brave tonight. Yes, he's a shit-face. But even so, he's a brave shit-face. And that's the truth."
The flask of sake was offered again.
"Domo," he said.
The frigate was keeled over, close-hauled, and greatly pleasing to him.
"I couldn't do better," he said aloud to the wind. "But if I had her, I'd go through the boats and out to sea, and never come back. I'd sell her home somehow, and leave the Japans to the Japanese, and to the pestilential Portuguese."
He saw Yabu and the captain staring at him.
"I wouldn't, really. Not yet. There's a black ship to catch and plunder to be had. And revenge, eh, Yabu-san?"
"Nandesuka, Anjin-san? Nanja?"
"Ichiban! Number one,"
he replied, waving at the frigate. He drained the flask. Hujiko took it from him.
"Sake, Anjin-san?"
"Domo, iye."
The two ships were very near the mast fishing boats now, the galley heading straight for the pass that had been deliberately left between them, the frigate on the last reach and turning for the harbour mouth. Here the wind freshened as the protecting headlands fell away, open sea half a mile ahead. Gusts billowed the frigate sails, the shrouds crackling like pistol shots, froth now at her bow and in her wake. The rowers were bathed with sweat and flagging. One man dropped, and another. The 50-odd Ronin samurai were already in position. Ahead, archers in the fishing boats either side of the narrow channel were arming their bows. Blackthorn saw small braziers in many of the boats, and he knew that the arrows would be fire arrows when they came. He had prepared for battle as best he could. Yabu had understood that they would have to fight, and had understood fire arrows immediately. Blackthorn had erected protective wooden bulkheads around the helm. He had broken open some of the crates of muskets and had set those who could to arming them with powder and with shot. And he had brought several small kegs of powder up onto the quarterdeck and fused them. When Santiago, the first mate, had helped him aboard the longboat, he had told him that Rodriguez was going to help, with God's good grace.
Why? He had asked. My pilot says to tell you that he had you thrown overboard to sober you up, senor.
Why?
Because, he said to tell you, senor pilot, because there was danger aboard the Santa Teresa. Danger for you.
What danger?
You are to fight your own way out, he tells you, if you can. But he will help.
Why?
For the Madonna's sweet sake, hold your heretic tongue and listen. I've little time.
Then the mate had told him about the shoals and the bearings and the way of the channel and the plan, and given him two pistols.
How good a shot are you? My pilot asks.
Poor, he had lied.
Go with God, my pilot said to tell you finally.
And him. And you.
For me, I assign thee to hell.
Thy sister.
Blackthorn had fused the kegs in case the cannon began, and there was no plan, or if the plan proved false, and also against encroaching hostiles. Even such a little keg, the fuse alight, floated against the side of the frigate, would sink her as surely as a 70-gun broadside.
It doesn't matter how small the keg, he thought, providing it guts her.
Isogi, for your lives!
He called out, and took the helm, thanking God for Rodriguez and the brightness of the moon. Here at the mouth, the harbour narrowed to 400 yards. Deep water was almost shore to shore, the rock headlands rising sharp from the sea. The space between the ambushing fishing boats was 100 yards. The Santa Teresa had the bit between her teeth now, the wind abaft the beam to starboard, strong wake aft, and she was gaining on them fast. Blackthorn held the center of the channel and signed to Yabu to be ready. All their Ronin samurai had been ordered to squat below the gunwales, unseen, until Blackthorn gave the signal, when it was every man, with musket or sword, to port or to starboard, wherever they were needed, Yabu commanding the fight. The Japanese captain knew that his oarsmen were to follow the drum, and the drummaster knew that he had to obey the Anjinsan. And the Anjinsan alone was to guide the ship. The frigate was 50 yards astern, in mid-channel, heading directly for them, and making it obvious that she required the mid-channel path. Aboard the frigate, Ferreira breathed softly to Rodriguez.
Ram him.
His eyes were on Mariko, who stood 10 paces off, near the railings, with Toranaga.
We daren't, not with Toranaga there, and the girl.
Senora,
Ferreira called out.
Senora, better to get below, you and your master. It'd be safer for him on the gun deck.
Mariko translated to Toranaga, who thought a moment, then walked down the companionway onto the gun deck.
God damn my eyes, the chief gunner said to no one in particular. I'd like to fire a broadside and sink something. It's a god-cursed year since we sunk even a poxed pirate.
Aye, the monkeys deserve a bath.
On the quarterdeck, Ferreira repeated.
Ram the galley, Rodriguez.
Why kill your enemy when others are doing it for you?
Madonna, you're as bad as the priest. Thou hast no blood in thee.
Yes, I have none of the killing blood,
Rodriguez replied, also in Spanish.
But thou hast it, eh? And Spanish blood, perhaps.
Are you going to ram him or not?
Ferreira asked in Portuguese, the nearness of the kill possessing him.
If she stays where she is, yes.
Then, Madonna, let her stay where she is.
What had you in mind for the Inglés? Why were you so angry he wasn't aboard us?
I do not like you or trust you now, Rodriguez. Twice you sided, or seemed to side, with the heretic against me, or us. If there was another acceptable pilot in all Asia, I would beat you, Rodriguez, and I would sail off with my black ship.
Then you will drown. There's a smell of death over you, and only I can protect you.
Ferreira crossed himself superstitiously.
Madonna, thou and thy filthy tongue! What right hast thou to say that?
My mother was a gypsy, and she the seventh child of a seventh child, as I am.
Liar!
Rodriguez smiled.
Oh, my lord, Captain General, perhaps I am.
He cupped his hands and shouted,
Action stations!
And then to the helmsman,
Steady as she goes, and if that belly gutter whore doesn't move, sink her.
Blackthorn held the wheel firmly, arms aching, legs aching. The oarsmaster was pounding the drum, the oarsman making a final effort. Now the frigate was 20 yards astern, now 15, now 10. Then Blackthorn swung hard to port. The frigate almost brushed them, heeled over toward them, and then she was alongside. Blackthorn swung hard to starboard to come parallel to the frigate, 10 yards from her. Then, together, side by side, they were ready to run the gauntlet between the hostiles.
Pull! Pull, you bastards!
Blackthorn shouted, wanting to stay exactly alongside, because only here were they guarded by the frigate's bulk and by her sails. Some musket shots, then a salvo of burning arrows slashed at them, doing no real damage. But several by mistake struck the frigate's lower sails, and fire broke out. All the commanding samurai in the boats stopped their archers in horror. No one had ever attacked a southern barbarian ship before. Don't they alone bring the silks, which make every summer's humid heat bearable, and every winter's cold bearable, and every spring and fall a joy? Aren't the southern barbarians protected by imperial decrees? Wouldn't burning one of their ships infuriate them so much that they would, rightly, never come back again? So the commanders held their men in check, while Torunaga's galley was under the frigate's wing, not daring to risk the merest chance that one of them would be the cause of the cessation of the black ships, without General Ishido's direct approval. And only when seamen on the frigate had doused the flames did they breathe easier. When the arrows stopped, Blackthorn also began to relax. And Rodriguez. The plan was working. Rodriguez had surmised that under his lee, the galley had a chance, its only chance.
But my pilot says you must prepare for the unexpected, Inglés,
Santiago had reported.
Shove that bastard aside,
Ferreira said.
God damn it! I ordered you to shove him into the monkeys!
5 points to port,
Rodriguez ordered obligingly.
5 points a port it is,
the helmsman echoed. Blackthorn heard the command. Instantly he steered port 5 degrees and prayed. If Rodriguez held the course too long, they would smash into the fishing boats, and he lost. If he slackened the beat and fell behind, he knew the enemy boats would swamp him, whether they believed Torunaga was aboard or not. He must stay alongside.
5 points starboard,
Rodriguez ordered, just in time. He wanted no more fire arrows either. There was too much powder on deck.
Come on, you pimp, he muttered to the wind. Put your cojones in my sails and get us to hell out of here.
Again Blackthorn had swung 5 points starboard to maintain station with the frigate, and the two ships raced side by side, the galley's starboard oars almost touching the frigate, the port oars almost swamping the fishing boats. Now the captain understood, and so did the oarsmaster and the rowers. They put their final strength into the oars. Yabu shouted a command, and the Ronin samurai put down their bows and rushed to help, and Yabu pitched in also. Neck and neck. Only a few hundred yards to go. Ben Gray's on some of the fishing boats, more intrepid than the others, sculled forward into their path and threw grappling hooks. The prow of the galley swamped the boats. The grappling hooks were cast overboard before they caught. The samurai holding them were drowned, and the stroke did not falter.
Go more to port!
I daren't, Captain General. Torunaga's no fool, and look, there's a reef ahead.
Ferreira saw the spines near the last of the fishing boats.
Madonna, drive him onto it.
2 points, port!
Again, the frigate swung over, and so did Blackthorn. Both ships aimed for the massed fishing boats. Blackthorn had also seen the rocks. Another boat was swamped, and a salvo of arrows came aboard. He held his course as long as he dared, then shouted,
5 points starboard!
To warn Rodriguez, and swung the helm over. Rodriguez took evasive action and fell away, but this time he held a slight collision course, which was not part of the plan.
Go on, you bastard,
Rodriguez said, whipped by the chase and by dread.
Let's weigh your cojones.
Blackthorn had to choose instantly between the spines and the frigate. He blessed the rowers, who still stayed at their oars, and the crew and all aboard, who, through their discipline, gave him the privilege of choice. And he chose. He swung further to starboard, pulled out his pistol, and aimed it.
Make way, by God!
He shouted, and pulled the trigger. The ball whined over the frigate's quarterdeck, just between the Captain General and Rodriguez. As the Captain General ducked, Rodriguez winced.
Thou English son of a milkless whore! Was that luck, or good shooting, or did you aim to kill?
He saw the second pistol in Blackthorn's hand, and Toranaga staring at him. He dismissed Toranaga as unimportant.
Blessed Mother of God, what should I do? Stick with the plan, or change it? Isn't it better to kill this Inglés, for the good of all? Tell me, yes or no? Answer thyself, Rodriguez, on thy eternal soul. Art thou not a man? Listen then. Other heretics will follow this Inglés now, like lice, whether this one is killed or not killed. I owe him a life, and I swear I do not have the killing blood in me. Not to kill a pilot.
Starboard your helm,
he ordered, and gave way.
My master asks, why did you almost smash into the galley?
It was just a game, signora. A game pilots play, to test the other's nerves.
And the pistol shot?
Equally a game, to test my nerve. The rocks were too close, and perhaps I was pushing the Inglés too much. We are friends, no?
My master says it is foolish to play such games.
Please give him my apologies. The important thing is that he is safe, and now the galley is safe, and therefore I am glad. Honto.
You arranged this escape, this ruse, with the Anjin-san?
It happened that he is very clever, and was perfect in his timing. The moon lit his way, the sea favored him, and no one made the mistake. But why the hostiles didn't swamp him, I don't know. It was the will of God.
Was it?
Ferreira said. He was staring at the galley astern of them, and he did not turn around. They were well beyond the harbor mouth now, safely out into the Osaka roads, the galley a few cables aft, neither ship hurrying. Most of the galley's oars had been shipped temporarily, leaving only enough to make way calmly while the majority of the oarsmen recuperated. Rodriguez paid Captain General Ferreira no heed. He was absorbed instead with Toranaga.
I'm glad we're on Toranaga's side,
Rodriguez told himself. During the race, he had studied him carefully, glad for the rare opportunity. The man's eyes had been everywhere, watching gunners and guns and the sails and the fire party with an insatiable curiosity, asking questions through Mariko of the seaman or the mate.
What's this for? How do you load a cannon? How much powder? How do you fire them? What are these ropes for?
My master says perhaps it was just karma. You understand karma, Captain Pilot?
Yes.
He thanks you for the use of your ship. Now he will go back to his own.
What?
Ferreira turned around at once.
We'll be in Edo long before the galley. Lord Toranaga's welcome to stay aboard.
My master says there's no need to trouble you any more. He will go onto his own ship.
Please ask him to stay. I would enjoy his company.
Lord Toranaga thanks you, but he wishes to go at once to his own ship.
Very well.